Welcome to the Making Expert Crew podcast, the link between research, practice, and theory for those who are interested in the activities you can engage with during non-school hours. The Making Expert Crew podcast is produced by Case for Kids, a division of Harris County Department of Education, and I'm your host, Mike Wilson. As we continue our series of the impact of COVID-19 on the OST field, families, and educators, today we're going to talk about ways in which you can offset students' learning loss, particularly in math. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, the summer was the longest gap many students experienced being out of the traditional classroom. Educators coined this term learning loss to describe what often happens to students during the summer break. This year, most students in the country have been out of the traditional classroom since early March and have been engaged in virtual learning. Now that summer break is here, many of these students will not be getting any form of academic instruction. So how will this issue be played out in the classroom setting? How will it impact students' future learning? Is there anything that OST staff and parents can do to lessen this occurrence? We are joined today by our guest, Dr. Cedric Stewart, to discuss these issues. Dr. Stewart has served families in Harris County as an educator, consultant, and administrator since 1992. During that time, he has held many roles, accruing over 20 years of educational experience with a fierce commitment to equity for all students. Dr. Stewart has recently been appointed to serve as the new instructional leader of Jules Houston Academy. He is the veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces and holds 6 degrees in criminal justice, educational leadership, and counseling. It is a pleasure to have you as a guest today on our podcast, and I thank you for taking some time to discuss with us this timely issue. But before we get started, Dr. Stewart, can you tell us how this COVID-19 pandemic has affected your normal daily life, as well as your educational experience and times when you have seen the summer learning loss affect many students?
Sure. Hey, good morning, Mike, and thank you for having me on the podcast. So first of all, as I've told everybody, whether it's here on my own campus or that I've been Zooming in other meetings, that across the world, not only in Texas, not only in the nation, but education moving forward is going to look completely different past March 15th. We will now be in the world where virtual education has a much greater role. And so education organizations will now have to factor that in, not only into the budget, the hardware and the software, but it's going to be a huge impact on teacher training. That's going to catch a lot of veteran teachers a little bit off, because a lot of them are able to skate and not necessarily use the latest or most up-to-date technology. But now, unfortunately, we now know that education, in order to be successful, can no longer run the way that it did in the past.
Can you share with us your definition of the summer learning loss? And do you think we will see greater than usual losses in the fall or whenever school convenes again?
Sure. So in education, we all experience what's called a summer loss. And I think a good analogy for summer loss is, as you get a little bit older, and you know, we've all have learned to ride a bicycle. Well, you know, there's that old saying, like, you know, you never forget how to ride a bicycle. But that learning is really, it's what's known, it's in muscle memory. It's there. Well, the brain is really a muscle as well. So learning loss occurs because the information that's usually acquired during the academic year is not stored deep enough in the brain. So when kids come back to school in the fall, it takes a while working with their teachers for them to readily access that information. Unfortunately, now with the summer loss, we also have known now what's known as the COVID slide. So the COVID slide simply means that not only did they not receive all of the information they should have received during the course of the year, but that information now is moved even farther back in the brain. So retrieving it is going to be even more difficult whenever the kids do return to school. As a result, a lot of instruction will have to focus on remediation, because there's going to be some additional skill gaps that are not usually present. in the academic year with kids.
In your experience, which subjects traditionally show the largest gap of learning?
I think probably that is going to be math and science, because those two courses generally require very hands-on activities, and it's not something that our kids typically do naturally over the summer, or they're not aware that they're doing. So those are two of the biggest losses when kids come back.
What are some tips and strategies parents and OST providers can implement to help in enhancing students' learning during the summer?
Okay, so the first thing, and we have to talk post-COVID-19, and parents have to realize that children have been adversely affected by this as well. No matter how they might seem to you, that there are probably going to be some issues there. So what we have tried to emphasize as far as educators to other educators and to parents is that learning at this point can't be forced on kids. The emphasis has to be on their social and emotional well-being, and that the academics, we will get to the academics later. Saying that, though, we want parents to realize that it is summer and our kids are geared to enjoying that summer break. So whatever learning activities that you use, you want to make sure that they're fun and that they are not sort of pushed on them. You also got to realize that at-home learning and even over the summer is not going to mirror school learning. So you can't have kids sitting there for 2, 3, 4 hours learning. Even if they're on a computer on Zoom, there's a new phenomenon called Zoom fatigue. So I would say 40, 45 minutes is it maximum getting a kid to do any sort of activity.
Speaking of math and science, those subjects for many students, they have an irrational fear. How can we minimize their anxiety regarding these, what people perceive to be tough subjects?
Well, I think first of all, it comes from parents. You know, and a lot of times I will hear parents say, well, you know, I didn't really do well in math. And so, no, I think there's also a misconception about it. And I tell people all the time, whether it's a third grade class or a college statistics class, math has really four basic operations. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. If you are not, and they build upon each other. So if you are not good at any one of those, it's going to show up later. As I tell my reading teaching friends, I maybe cannot recognize a verb, but I could get the rest of the sentence correct. Math and science are very exact. So there's a reason that we teach addition first, then we move to subtraction, then we move to multiplication, and finally division. So whether it's an 8-year-old or an 18-year-old, if they're lacking in those four basic math skills, that's the area that you have to start until they become fluent in those.
Many parents and OST providers may not be strong in math. Are there some activities they can incorporate to help students keep up with their math skills? Are there any apps, computer programs, or games that you could recommend?
Yeah, so strictly speaking, probably on math, one of the best ones that I always recommend is Khan Academy. You can go online. It's absolutely free. I like Khan because they not only provide the materials, but they also provide video lessons that you could use. There is a website called weareteachers.com. It's all subjects. It's free online resources. It's all grades. If your kid is pretty computer literate, I would try code.org. It's to learn how to do basic coding. So kids find out a little more fun activity, but it's actually incorporating math. For the more younger kids, Sesame Street and PBS Kids are really two good websites that are really, I think, are really good for the younger ages. Math fluency, there's a website called coolmath.com. That's probably would be, I'd say, more appropriate for about that 3 through 12 age range. And then there's a website called Fun Brain. Those are really free, good resources. Also, check your district websites. Like in Aldine, where I work, it's called June Jam. It's on our website page, but it's different activities for every day. I know there's one for reading. There's one for arts, and there's one more to keep kids moving. But they're all very, very user-friendly and designed to keep the kids engaged without it making seem like schoolwork.
Wow, those sound like some really excellent resources, and we will include them in the description of this podcast. Therefore, parents, OST providers, or whoever listens to this particular episode can have access to them. Before we close, are there any final comments you would like to share with our listeners?
I would honestly say, Mike, again, I can't emphasize enough that the psychological impact that COVID-19 is going to have on kids. And so that probably their learning curve is absolutely going to be affected, even when they come back to school at whatever school may look like in the fall. You know, we have some parents and some kids may have been high achievers. You probably can expect like maybe there's going to be a grade drop. We're expecting that. We are not looking for kids to return business as usual. Now, kids are really very resilient, but this is certainly going to take an impact on them. And so I think if you had to emphasize, I would emphasize the social and emotional learning aspect over the academic aspect at this point.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because I think sometimes we do look at the academic performance and don't take in consideration some of the social, emotional, even things that are happening on the in their own personal lives that may impact their learning. I mean, I've noticed during this quarantine that certain days my kids, they don't even want to, you know, get dressed. And some days they have a little bit more energy. Other days they just want to lay in bed all day. And, you know, I try to, as much as possible, encourage them to let's put on some clothes, even if we take a ride around the block, just get up and let's sort of do something. Because you're right, after a while, I mean, this has been an extremely long period of time that all of our lives have shifted. We're gradually going back to what we would consider what was our normal. I know it's going to probably change forever. And I think we should be reminded that once schools do resume, that we have to gradually get back to what we were considering a traditional classroom setting, and not just think that we're going to return like things as usual. Well, Dr. Stewart, I appreciate again so much for you taking some time, sharing with us this very useful and timely information, as well as reminding us of the personal aspect that is involved with learning. So I really do appreciate your comments. We will have resources in which families can have access to. If people want to get in contact with you directly, is there an email that you can share?
Sure. You can reach me. My work email is cbstewart, STEWART, at aldeneisd.org.
Again, thank you so much. You be safe, and I appreciate you being our guest on this episode of the Making a School Cool podcast.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.